Do you ever forget the names of people that you've recently met? Or is it just me? Is it just me? Maybe somebody not so recently you met, somebody you should know their name, but you just can't quite remember. That's kind of awkward, isn't it? You wish somebody would whisper in your ear their name. You wish you could get a reintroduction, not just to know their names, but to also recall the details about your life that you should know, but you've forgotten. Anybody relate to this?
I hear you, brother.
Amen. Well, we all do. It's difficult to remember names and backgrounds and circumstances with the people that we meet. It takes time and effort to get to know people. But don't give up. It's important that we do get to know each other and learn. And if you don't remember, just say, I'm sorry, your name has slipped my mind, and just continue on. I think people will understand that. Amen? It's okay if I come in and say, tell me what's your name? You've known me, Pastor Mike, for 20 years. But I'm getting senile in my old age, so. Hey, I want to apply that, though. The same is true in the church. Some come to the church a long time, and some are new, and sometimes we're frequent and maybe not so frequent. And we say we should know more about this church, but we don't really. Some of you have been here for many years, and sometimes you remember stuff, and you go, don't everybody know what I know? But if you're somewhat new to the church the last year or so, you don't know the history, you don't know the background. So our understanding of the church is somewhat fragmented. Now, many of us know very little about the church we attend. We attend church because we like it, it feels good, it sounds good, the preacher sounds good, but we don't always know what it really believes, unless you look a little deeper. What it teaches, unless you're around long enough to hear the pastor talk on some difficult topics. We don't really know how a church is led or governed. You know, do they have elders or pastors or something different? And by the way, who is the pastor? Because some churches you get up, there's different guys up. Like you've seen Jonathan, you've seen me, and if you're new to the church, you may say, what roles do these people have? Who does this and who does that? We pick up a little here, we pick up a little there, but we really don't know the whole story of the church, so we try to piece it together as best we can, and we don't want to feel like we're awkward to ask. Sometimes we need a new and detailed reintroduction, not just to people, but to the church itself. Well, you come on the right Sunday. Okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to reintroduce to you Twin Peaks Community Church. Some of you are going, great, I've been here for 20 years. You don't need to reintroduce it to me. That's okay. Well, you might learn something, but some of you who are new to the church, you may not know anything about our history, our background. So some of you, it's old news. Some of you, it's new news and welcome news because you didn't really understand how this church works. So that's my goal, is to catch you up a little bit. This is the first of a year. I've been gone for 10 days. I feel like I need to reacquaint myself with the church myself. So here we go. I've titled my message, A Reintroduction to Twin Peaks Community Church. Who are we? What do we believe? What are we doing? Where are we going? I'm going to follow the outline that's in your bulletin. I'm going to put the whole outline up so you can see it. Are you ready? We're going to do two things. We're going to reintroduce our church, and we're going to reintroduce our staff, all right? But for our church, we're going to talk about its history, its name, how we got the name Twin Peaks Community Church, our motto, our core values, our beliefs, how are we supported as a church, and our second main point is reintroducing our staff. Senior Pastor Mike Wister, going to reintroduce him. Associate Pastor Jonathan Trask, make sure you know who he is, where he came from, how long he's been here. We're going to talk about our support staff, our volunteer staff, and we're going to ask ourselves, how can we be more involved in our local church? There you go. That's the outline for the day. You ready? If you'd like to take a few notes, it is in the bulletin. Ready for you to scratch down a few thoughts. Twin Peaks Community Church is one of the oldest churches on the mountain. Let me share briefly about how and when it all began. So our history, by the way, our history is in our website. You can go to our website, you can read about the church's background. So I'm going to give you a brief history of the church. Originally, our mountain community was only used during the summertime. Very few tried to live up here during the winter due to the heavy snows and the primitive roads. Half the roads weren't even here, just a few roads. And imagine living up here without electricity. We can imagine that, can't we? Thanks, Edison. It's a throwback. We get to see what it would be like to live here with no power, no heat. But in the summertime, it became a pretty populated community. Now, right over here on the corner where 189 crosses Grandview is the sheriff station. That wasn't always a sheriff station there. That was a campground. And Pine Rose Cabins were cabins that people stayed in. They weren't called Pine Rose Cabins then. They were the Dowd's Cabins. But that corner lot, that whole area, and maybe even all the way over here, was a campground. And the area was originally called Strawberry Flats. Let's go up to Strawberry Flats and camp for a while. Now, we still have a homeowners or property owners association here called Strawberry Flats. So that name is stuck. Many believe that the reason it was called Strawberry Flats is because wild strawberries grew in this area, which I can vouch for because of my yard that I water. I see little baby strawberry plants growing up wild. During the summer months, the campground got full, and so they said, let's have a Sunday school program for the families that are here. A bell was hung from a branch of a tree, and they would ring that bell to signal that it's time to get together on a Sunday morning, so all the campers and all the locals would walk over. And we still have a bell here at the church, and we think it might be the original bell from way back when. Pretty amazing. There was a piano that sat on a platform, and somebody from the camp could play piano, and they all knew the hymns. So they would sing hymns outside under the trees. Various pastors who were visiting the campground would take turns teaching from the Bible. And this went on for many, many years. Strawberry Flats Sunday School. Our earliest records of the Strawberry Flats Sunday School is from 1913. That's 112 years ago. They were meeting in this vicinity. This church has got some good roots, long roots. Finally, in 1935, 90 years ago, a little church building was erected, and we still use that building. We call it the CE building, or Christian Ed building. It's where the children go. That building behind us was the original church. You can look at the timber and lumber in there. That is old structure. That is from 90 years ago, 1935. In the 70s, God led the growing congregation. Now people started to live in the area, still not very many, but some did. They decided they needed a bigger sanctuary. You're sitting in it. Under the leadership of Pastor Stephen Mesrark, I think that's how he says his name. By the way, I talk to him every once in a while. He calls me up. He's in his 80s, I think. He lives in Israel. He calls me to check on the church and see what's going on. A very sharp guy. So 50 years later, we're still worshiping. He talks about the stained windows, how they designed them, and he's got quite a history. Someday, if he ever comes back from Israel, maybe we'll have him share a little bit. Would that be fun? Former pastor from the 70s. Fast forward to 2018, just 7 years ago, we remodeled. We were so full that we were thinking of having double services. Do you recall that before COVID? 2018, we were jammed to the walls. We had chairs lined up along the pews. So we said, we don't want to go to two or three services. Let's add on. So we added on that huge addition there beyond the glass there where all those people are in the other room. We added on the back section here, the restrooms. We added to the parking lot. We rehung the bell that had been in storage all those years. We made a bell tower. So that was kind of a big change in our appearance of our church in 2018. This past year, 2024, we gave the CE building a bit of an inside facelift. It still looks the same outside, but we opened it up a little bit and removed some windows and added some walls and some chalkboards and a TV. And we still have some plans to do some other work, more on the parking lot and more on the buildings. When you have an old building, there's always something to do. And so we're looking forward, not just backwards, looking forward. Isn't it great to be part of so rich a spiritual heritage, a history? Over 100 years, the roots go back. May Twin Peaks Community Church continue to draw people to the Lord for another 100 years, unless the Lord tarries, right? If the Lord tarries that long, then we hope that it'll continue to shine as a light in the Twin Peaks community. Now let's consider, secondly, our name. We talked about our history, our name. I mentioned earlier that the community was originally called Strawberry Flats. Well, when they got their first post office here, this local, they wanted to name it Strawberry Flats Post Office, but Strawberry was already taken. There's another town, another small town in California called Strawberry, so they were told they'd have to change their name. The community changed its name to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks. Why Twin Peaks? No one knows for sure. I investigated. I got a hold of the historian people. They don't know why it became Twin Peaks. They guess it may be because of Strawberry Peak and Heaps Peak. They don't look the same. They're not twins. They're not near each other. So that's a bit of a mystery where that name came from. Somebody thought it was cute, I guess. At any rate, the little church couldn't call itself Strawberry Peaks or Strawberry Flats Sunday School anymore, so they changed their name to Twin Peaks Community Church. That sound familiar? TPCC, Twin Peaks Community Church. I actually like that name. It says something. It clarifies our location. If you tell somebody you attend Twin Peaks Community Church, they know where you're at. If you live up here in the mountains, if they live in Crestline, they know where Twin Peaks is. So instead of some generic name, it's a specific place. And it actually sounds kind of welcoming. We are a community church. Now, if it said a Baptist church, maybe nobody would feel welcome to come unless they were a Baptist. That would exclude people. Community includes people. It says, join us, diverse backgrounds, set aside your differences, come together as a community of faith, a community Bible church. Several years ago, it occurred to me that there might be an additional significance to the name Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks. It just kept bothering me that I didn't know where it came from, so I made up my own story. That leads us to our next point, our motto. Look at the cover of your bulletin. You see it every single week. The twin priorities of Twin Peaks Church is loving God and loving people. This motto comes from the words of Jesus. We read them in our scripture reading. When he was asked what the greatest law was, he says, love God with all your heart is supreme. But the next one is just as important, love your neighbor as yourself. These two commands are the twin peaks of Christian duty, the twin priorities. So this has become our church motto. It's on our bulletin. It's on our mugs that we give away. Loving God and loving people, the twin peaks. We love God more every day. You can never outlove God. You got to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And he says that should overflow. Our vertical relationship with God should overflow to a love for his people. We need to love one another. All throughout the scripture, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. So if we truly live out these two commands, these two peaks, we're going to turn the community upside down. If we're really the loving church, and I don't care if we're the biggest church. I want us to be the most loving church because that's what Jesus says is most important. That should be our priority. That's what our motto is. Love God. Love people. Let's next consider our core values. Our core values. Through the years, I just thought through what do we do as a church. I want to come up with some kind of a slogan or something, a statement. So I came up with these three statements. They're in the back of your bulletin, on the very back bottom side. And that is, we are a Bible-based church, we are a Christ-centered church, we are a family-focused church. That's not too complicated. They actually have a double B, Bible-based, double C, Christ-centered, double F, family-focused. Let's take a minute and unpack these three statements one at a time so you understand what they mean, because that's who we are. That's who we are as a church. Number one, we are a Bible-based church. Somebody says, what kind of church do you go to? Say, we're a Bible church, independent Bible church, Bible community Bible church. Use the word Bible. I want people to know that we believe the Bible is God, the Word of God. Not everybody believes that. Some people believe the Bible is not accurate. We believe it's true, that it's inspired by God, that He speaks to us through His Word. It's the Word. He speaks to us through His Bible. That the Bible is the absolute standard for all we say and do. It's what we measure our life by, is the Bible. So we're a Bible-based church. Through the Bible, God has revealed Himself to mankind. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know about God. We would know about nature and the skies, and we'd understand that there's a supreme being, but He's revealed Himself. And most of all, He's revealed His Son, the Lord Jesus. His life and ministry, especially His suffering, His death, His burial, His resurrection. We have all that in the Bible. No wonder we keep going back to that book. It shows us how to get right with God through Jesus Christ. It's God's book. We're a Bible-based church. Our priority is to teach and preach the Bible every week. If possible, every session, every time we gather, the Bible is our textbook. It's our source of truth. So we're a Bible-based church. Now, next Sunday, we're beginning a new series. I'll be beginning a series on the Sermon on the Mount. That's from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. Now, this last year, last 2 years, we went through books of the Bible. We took huge chunks at a time, big sweeping view. This time, we're doing the opposite. We're going down, way down, and we're going to take just a verse or two and work through three chapters. It's going to take us 6 months to do it because the Sermon on the Mount is so potent, so powerful. You know, if you have what's called a red letter Bible, it shows the words of Jesus read. This is the longest red letter section, three full chapters of just Jesus sitting on a hill talking to His people. It covers almost every subject possible. It's an amazing. So we are a Bible-based church, whether we're sweeping through and looking at the big picture of the Bible or the details of the Bible. So if someone asks you about your church, say, it's a Bible-based church. Say that. Ready? It's a Bible-based church. Can you say that? Maybe better off say, we are a Bible-based church. Include yourself. We are a Bible-based church. Our second core value is that we are a Christ-centered church. Christ-centered church. We believe that Jesus is literally the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. So we continually point people to Jesus. We point people to the cross. We are a Bible-centered church. He alone can rescue you. He alone can forgive you. He alone can restore you. He alone can heal you. He is what we're all about. We're a Bible-centered, Christ-centered church. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be focusing on the teachings of Christ because we're a Christ-centered church. So take a few minutes this week and start reading and investigating and studying the Sermon on the Mount, because we'll be there for a while. Our third core value is we are a family-focused church. We believe that God, in the beginning, designed marriage. God designed marriage. Do you believe that? To be between one man and one woman. That's the design, Adam and Eve. And then God said to Adam and Eve what? Be fruitful and multiply, have children. So the family is God's idea. He established it. So man should not be redefining marriage between two people of the same gender. That's wrong. Whatever society says doesn't matter. God's word is our standard. Man should not be interfering with the children in a family. The government should not be pulling kids away unless there's really, really good reason for it. Sometimes it's not such good reasons. They interfere with the family. We want our church to be family-focused, as God is family-focused, doing all we can to encourage Christian families. Now, how is that implemented here at Twin Peaks Community Church? We've designed our ministries with the family in mind. I don't want it to be aged segregated. I want us to be age integrated. I want us to be together. I'm glad to see children that are welcome and willing to sit in church. It's fantastic. We've designed our services with kids in mind. That's why we have a children's corner every Sunday. For all these years, we have something special for the kids so that they know they're included into our services. That's why we have a nursery program and a Sunday school program so your children can be encouraged and taught while you're being taught. That's why we have VBS. VBS is a lot of work. But because we believe in the family, we believe in children, we have VBS. And the Strawberry Festival. And Trail Life. It really encourages the relationship between fathers and sons. We have youth groups. We have family movie nights. We built a nice playground so the families would be encouraged to come here. So we want to be a family church. We are typically an older church because quite often the age of the congregation matches the age of the pastor. A lot of gray hair. A lot of gray hair out there. That's okay. God is building his church. It's not my church. It's not Jonathan's church. It's God's church. Whoever he brings, we want to encourage and focus on the family. Okay, so we are reintroducing our church. So far we've considered our history, our name, our motto, and our values. How about our beliefs? Next point. Our beliefs. What do we believe? Every church has a statement of faith. They have to have something that's their foundation that clarifies what the church believes and what the church teaches. Now, I like to look at websites of churches. If I ever go to a new area, or even this area, I'll look up the websites of the different churches and read about their churches, listen to their sermons. You know, sometimes I cannot find a statement of faith on a website. You'd think that'd be the first thing you'd see. But that's kind of tucked in somewhere you have to kind of dig for it, like about us and what we believe. You finally find it if you work hard enough. It should not be difficult to find our statement of faith. We've chosen as a church to display it prominently. It's in the back of our bulletin every single Sunday. You know the first day you come here what we believe. It's also on our website. It's also on our church constitution, which if you're not website good at handling computers, we'll give you a paper constitution that has our detailed statement of faith. We want people to know up front what we believe. We don't want them to be here 6 months ago. That's what you believe and then leave. We want an agreement. To become a member of Twin Peaks Community Church, you must agree with this statement of faith. You must sign saying, I agree with what you're teaching. So we are united in the truths and teachings of the Bibles. On another topic, though, sometimes because we don't pass the offering, some have wondered how in the world is our little church supported? How do you support a full-time pastor and a full-time associate pastor in this little church? You know, we stopped passing the plate during COVID when we also stopped doing communion with the, you know, passing communion. We've gone back to doing communion, but we have not gone back to taking the offering. We don't feel that we need to pressure you to give. God will move you to give. If you're going to give and you feel motivated by God to give, you'll find the offering box. You'll find a way to give. Because we're not affiliated with any church, denomination, we do not have any outside financial support. We don't have something coming in every month. We're not a mission church where the mother church sends us donations. We are an independent church. We're on our own. Well, not really. If God be for us, who could be against us? If God is with us, we're not alone. We're not alone. So how are we supported? God. God prompts his people to give. It's called free will offerings. The Bible teaches the importance of tithing and giving offerings to the Lord's work. And if we're doing God's work, we believe God will provide. And that's how we're supported year in, year out. God is our provider and has been for the last 100 years. I'm sure there's been lean years when the economy turned south. But overall, God has blessed this church abundantly. Some even remember us in their will. And we've received large donations when people pass. They remember our church and give. And that's kept us afloat during the leaner years. So we believe God will continue to provide. You say, well, how do I give if you don't pass an offering? Well, the box is right there on the center post. You can't miss it, really. It says offering. And it's locked. All you got to do is drop your cash into that little slot or your envelope. Or your checks, if you still write checks. We've learned that people don't have cash or checks anymore, so we've also opened up PayPal and Zelle, so you can give digitally. How many here are more digital kind of people? How many here are still like giving, writing checks like me? Yeah, let's see. They were older congregation. We're still writing checks. You can also give by mail. We get checks every day in the mail from banks and from you to support our church. Now, all about giving is listed here again on the back of the bulletin right here. How to give. You know, I've mentioned the bulletin several times today, haven't I? This is an important piece of information. When you invite someone to church, they say, well, tell me about your church. Give them a bulletin. It tells you what we believe, where we meet, how to give, how to support. It gives you an outline of what we do. This is our main publication, our only publication. We give it out on Sunday mornings. Now, if people are really interested, they'll look at the website. But this is a bridge to the website because it has the website right on it. So this is what I would encourage you is to let people know about Twin Peaks Community Church. Thank you, by the way, for your generous support of our family, our church. We've been here a long time, and we've never had a time where we didn't get paid anymore. I know some pastors who stopped taking the salary because their churches can't afford it. They just continue serving for free. God has blessed this little church. We've never had to do that. You've taken good care of us. That's been quite a reintroduction to Twin Peaks Community Church. I hope now you have a little better understanding of who we are and what we believe and what we're doing. Now I'm going to transition to a reintroduction to our staff. I want you to know who the leaders are and how they got here. Reintroducing our staff, since Twin Peaks Community Church has always been a small church, it's always been a small church, it's usually been led by part-time pastors. Before I came, maybe 5 years was the longest anybody had really been here because they often were bivocational. That means the church paid them a little bit, and they also worked in the community. And the community didn't have much work, so the pastors would move on. So there was no continuity, no real vision for the future. Fortunately, that trend changed with our current pastor. Let me introduce to you Mike Wissner. Now, that's me now. If you're new to our church, I'm going to reintroduce myself. Now, we've been here, Rachel and I have been here for 24 years. We came in 2001. So we have lasted longer than anyone previously. That's almost a quarter of the life of the church, 25 years, 24 years. We've loved every minute. It's like we're on a continual, they say when you go to a new church, you get a honeymoon. It's like it's been a continual honeymoon because there's always new people coming in and they're so nice and so encouraging. This church has really changed through the years. People have moved up and moved away, moved up, moved away. So not too many of you are left from 20 years ago. So it's always a new congregation in a sense. There's always some excitement. But our coming here was a match, I think, made in heaven. I think God orchestrated it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm going to keep it brief. If you want my full testimony, 2 years ago, I shared my full testimony. I think maybe in January 2 years ago, I just reintroduced myself and gave lots of details. This time, I'm going to give you the condensed version. Ready? I was born, going way back, to a non-Christian family, okay? A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of trouble. So at age 10, my siblings and I were put in foster care. I was 10. They were all younger than I was. And I stayed in foster care the rest of my childhood for 8 years. Through one of my foster families, I was exposed to Christianity. And at age 13, living in Oregon, they took me to the Billy Graham Crusade in 1968 when I was 13. And after the second or third night, I went forward and gave my life to Christ. I said, this is what I want. This is what I've been looking for. This is why God pulled me out of my crazy home and put me into a Christian home. So I was a devoted Christian right from the start. Because I'd been exposed to all the drugs and the alcohol as a child, I avoided it completely as a teenager. I've never been drunk. I've never been high. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying I had no interest in any of that because I saw the damage it did in my family. Truly, God had his hand on me. He pulled me out of that spot. Put me in a place where I could respond to him. And I was spared a lifetime of trouble. At age 19, at the end of my childhood, going out of the foster home, you got to decide where you're going. Well, I'm not going back home, not to that crazy family. Where am I going to go? Well, as a foster child, I had college pretty much provided for me if I wanted to go. I was a ward of the court. So I was all signed up to go to a college in Oregon to become a school teacher and a coach. And then God brought someone into my life. He says, why don't you come to Bible college? Who wants to go learn more English and science and math? You don't want that, do you? I go, no, I don't. So I went to Bible college with the possibility not of being a teacher, but possibly being a pastor. But I was very shy and insecure. I didn't know how that would go, but I thought I'd go 1 year at a time, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. God met me there. It was a fantastic years of growth for me. It was then that God revealed his will for me through this scripture. This is Jesus speaking. This is my life verse, John 15:16. You did not choose me. But I chose you and ordained you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. That's the verse God spoke to me about. Insecure foster kid, nowhere to go. God said, I've chosen you. I've ordained you. You're going to bear fruit. This became my calling, my life verse. So I went to Bible school. And again, I was the least likely to be a pastor. I was so shy, so introverted. At the end of my Bible college in 1978, I was beginning to doubt my call. I said, well, maybe I should, you know, go into construction or something. Something where I don't have to be in front of people. God again spoke to me through a specific scripture. When you're reading God's word and asking God, guide me. And you come, here's the verse. It jumped out of the Bible. Here it says, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. God didn't say do the work of a school teacher or a coach or a janitor. He said do the work of an evangelist. Call people to me. Fulfill your ministry. You'll bear fruit and your fruit will remain. So from that moment on, I knew I was called to be a pastor. It was at this time that I came back to my home church in Oregon, and the church had burned down. And so we together started remodeling or rebuilding this church, and we met in a rented space while we built. And I became the youth pastor, along with working as a lifeguard and a janitor and a waiter. I was bivocational. That means it wasn't just full-time church, but I became the youth pastor. And at about the same time, I met the cutest girl in the world. Oh, man. She's 18 years old, red hair and freckles. And within 10 months, we were married. So we didn't wait very long. Rachel was the perfect wife for me. She completed me. We were young. I was 24. She was 18, almost 19. 1 month later, she became 19. But that's been, let's see, 45 years ago. So I think the marriage took. So maybe being young and getting married is not such a bad idea. As for ministry, I quickly learned that I was not cut out for youth pastoring. I don't do well with teenagers. I don't do well with my own teenagers, let alone other people's teenagers. It takes a special work person to be a youth guy. Thank you for being that guy that loves the kids. Not that I don't love them, I just don't tolerate them. I love little children. I love children's corner. Teenagers, I just don't have a relationship with them. So God opened the door for me to become a senior pastor in 1982. A small church. I was only 27 years old. I was a senior pastor. That's too young. Nobody becomes a pastor at 27 years old. But I was always considered old for my age. I was kind of an old fogey. I liked hymns, and I liked older people. And so I pastored this little church with a bunch of older people. And God continued to confirm that this is what I should do. I've never again doubted God's calling on my life. In all my years of ministry, I've always had a heart for little children. And that's been expressed a lot through the little magic tricks and balloons and things that I do. I make balloon animals. What started as a little hobby became a ministry, and then it became an occupation. I had such a large family, I needed to support myself. And the balloons, you would not believe how much is provided for me. I wrote a little book on how to make balloons. Started teaching classes, and it's just blossomed. Now half my kids make balloons as an occupation. Some of my kids are making balloon animals just like I am in the restaurants and in the neighborhoods. What a serendipity that God would give me something that I could use. God brought us here to Twin Peaks Community Church in 2001, 24 years ago, this coming April. My anniversary date for first Sunday at Twin Peaks Community Church is April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2001. So come April Fool's Day, you got the right guy, all right? And I love this community. I love the sunshine. I loved getting out of Oregon's rain. And it was just such a positive, wonderful place to be. So thank you for allowing me to come. Now, at the age of 69, the question arises, when does my calling end? I know I was called back in my 20s. Now I'm towards the end of my life. When did my calling end? Well, my answer is, God showed me how, when it began, He'll make it clear when it's time to end. I'm still listening for His direction. If He spoke to me so clearly, He can also speak the other way and say, it's time to step back. So as of now, I'm still here. And I'm just starting the Sermon on the Mount, so we'll be here for at least six more months. Another significant fact about me is that God blessed us with a lot of children. If you're new to our church, you may not know this, but we have 12 children and 35 grandchildren, and some of our kids aren't even married yet. There's going to be more children, probably. I have truly lived a full and fulfilling life. Well, I've reintroduced myself. I'm going to reintroduce my associate pastor, Jonathan Trask. Now, Jonathan gave his testimony when he first came, and he's probably due to give it again because people are new. People don't know you. But if I recall, God has clearly directed you in your life in many dramatic ways. Jonathan was raised in a dysfunctional family, not too dissimilar than mine. God revealed to Jonathan at a young age, he became a Christian young enough to be spared all the life awful experiences as a teenager. He grew up like me, focused on God. He grew up here in the mountains. He's a mountain kid. Are you a rim grad? Yeah. Local boy. So people know who Jonathan is. He's moved away for a while, and he's come back. That's important to me. He's chosen to want to live up here. Some people move up here and go, this is not for me, and they leave. He went down the hill and goes, that's not for me, and came back. He owns a house up here. He's going to be here a long time. People know him. He's got a great reputation. He's the perfect choice to come beside me and help me in my later years. God has blessed Jonathan with a beautiful wife named Sarah, two wonderful kids, Aurora and Wesley. Previous to joining our staff here, and that was in 2021, so over 3 years now, Jonathan was the family pastor of a large church, Calvary Chapel Church in Huntington Beach, called The Refuge. And before that, he ministered at these camps, Thousand Pines and Alpine. For 16 years, he's been working in camp work. Does he know kids? Yeah, it's fantastic. So Jonathan has many roles here at Twin Peaks Community Church. He came alongside of me. I was a solo pastor. Now I have an associate pastor. So we work together, and I've just basically given him everything I don't want to do. He organizes the nursery and the Sunday school. He leads our youth group, our VBS, our young adult ministry. He oversees what's called Trail Life, that group is for fathers and sons. He maintains our church website. And he does anything and everything needed to help the church move forward. So So thank you, Jonathan, for your willing service to our church. So Jonathan and I are the only full-time paid staff. But there's many more who serve here faithfully. I'm just going to mention these by name. Are you ready? I'm going to call them the support staff and our volunteer staff. Support staff means that they're partially paid. Let me begin by reintroducing to you Megan. Megan, raise your hand. Are you here? She's in the nursery. Raise your hand, John. Megan is our church secretary and has too many duties to list, like making the directory and keeping us afloat. She does a really good job. Dave Hatch is back in the sound room. Dave, raise your hand so people know who you are. Dave is partially supported. It's a position in our church to run the sound and the lights, and he's consistent. He takes my notes and shoots them up on the board so you can see them. He's been doing this now for many, many, many years. Thank you, Dave. And his wife, Joy plays the flute. Where are you, Joy? There you are. Okay. Dave Schroeder is our worship leader. Dave started coming to the church 20 years ago, Dave. Everybody raise your hand, Dave. Are you back there? And his wife, Joyce. And they've been leading our worship for several years now, but they started attending our church many years before that. Angelica, are you here, Angelica? Angelica, raise your hand. You show sigh. We give a little honorarium to Angelica because she comes in, week out, faithfully, every Friday morning and cleans the church. You wonder why our windows are clean, there's no little handprints, because she washes all these windows and vacuums all these floors. So she serves behind the scenes, out of the spotlight. So we really appreciate what you do, Angelica. And if any of you feel like you just want to help sometime, just show up. She'll give you a vacuum cleaner. It's a big job. She's here all day on Fridays. Well, that's the support staff, the ones that are paid a little bit. But there's others that are volunteer staff. Did I miss any of the paid ones? Okay, I'm forgetful enough. As you might expect, this is our largest group of our church, all the volunteer staff. I can't acknowledge all of them by name, but at least by position. How about this? If you've ever served Twin Peaks Community Church as an elder, raise your hand, an elder. There's an elder there. So some are currently serving, some are had served before this, but they're the ones that come alongside and work with the pastors and implement the ministry, make it happen, oversee the ministry, the elders. If you've ever been a deacon or a deaconess, raise your hand. Deacons and deaconesses, there you are. See all those deacons, deaconesses? The word deacon means servant. These are people who have served in the church, the ones that do the work days and take care of the meals and the strawberry festivals and all the fun stuff we do. Somebody has to do all that work. If you've ever helped with children's ministry, raise your hand. Nursery, children's church, look at this. That's how we function. Two people cannot run a church. We need lots of volunteers. How about youth ministry? Have you ever helped with youth ministry? I see a couple right here, Derek and CJ. Oh, and there's Jacob. He's working with the youth group. John's working with the youth group. So thank you. We need help in the youth group. We need help to go on these retreats and activities that they do. They need help going to Disneyland. They need drivers. Maybe you've helped with the VBS? Yeah, everybody's helped with the VBS. That's crazy. How about Strawberry Festival? Look at that. Everybody's helped with Strawberry Festival. We can't do these things alone. It's all volunteers. How about with decorating and undecorating? I see the tree's gone. Look at all the decorators. Thank you for serving. How about church work days? Come out and swept up around the church. I'm sure many of you have done that, done some projects. We could go on and on talking about volunteers because the whole church is made up as volunteers. Maybe I didn't mention the area you've served. Just raise your hand if you've served somewhere else that I haven't even mentioned. We have the ladies that makes the mugs. There's so many little things that are done by volunteers. So thank you for your service. Greeters, parking lot. You know there's a passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, those who do this in secret will be rewarded by your Father who sees in secret. so much is done that nobody knows about it. And you say, well, nobody knows what I'm doing. God knows. He will reward you for your service. Okay, now for the convicting question as we close up. If you didn't raise your hand for anything, why not? Where are you? We need you. What is God prompting you to do? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. What commitment is he asking you to make Twin Peaks Community Church the kind of church that it needs to be? You answer that in your own heart. This has been a marathon, I know. We've gone through a lot of information. We'll be back into God's Word next week with the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pause and pray. Maybe God is prompting you to say, I want to serve. I want to do something. Just show up and do it. You don't have to have permission to sweep or fix or change light bulbs. You don't have to have permission to serve. Just have an obedient heart. Find a way to serve, be involved with the youth group, be involved with the children, be a part of Twin Peaks Community Church. Thank you, Father, for this overall perspective of our church. Thank you that we got the chance to reintroduce our ministries and our ministers. Lord, we just commit ourselves to put our heart into this ministry 100%. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for a closing song.